you for joining us for the Mormon Channel Relief Society program from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. On the first week of each month, the Mormon Channel presents quotes and insights on the Relief Society visiting teaching message. This month, the message is entitled, Watch Care and Ministering Through Visiting Teaching. In John chapter 13, verse 35, we read, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. When Jesus Christ was on the earth, he not only taught us to love one another, he showed us how to do so. Motivated by pure love, he spent his days watching over, strengthening, and ministering to individuals one by one. With compassion, he cared for their temporal and spiritual needs. His perfect life of selfless sacrifice and service marks the path and leads the way for true disciples to follow. Moroni taught that all those who seek to become true followers of Christ should pray with all energy of heart to be filled with charity, the pure love of Christ. In 1913, the Relief Society General Presidency established the motto that would become a constant reminder of Relief Society's founding purpose and divine origin, the scriptural declaration, Charity Never Faileth. This motto defines the purpose of Relief Society, to increase faith and personal righteousness, strengthen families and homes, and to seek out and help those in need. It encompasses the work of the Savior and embraces the charge that the prophet Joseph Smith gave sisters to relieve the poor and save souls. Speaking of this inspired motto, President Henry B. Eyring, first counselor in the first presidency, taught,
I will speak to you tonight of the great legacy those who went before you in the Relief Society have passed on to you. The part of the foundation they laid for you, which seems to me most important and persistent, is that charity is at the heart of the society and was to come into the heart to be part of the very nature of every member. Charity meant to them far more than a feeling of benevolence. Charity is born of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and is an effect of his atonement working in the hearts of the members. There are many benevolent groups of women who do great good. There are many who have overpowering feelings of sympathy for the unfortunate, the sick, and the needy. But this organization is unique and has been from its start. In the foundation they created, those great sisters set Charity Never Faileth at the center. It served them at the beginning. It served them in the great period that followed. It serves them now in a new time. And it will serve the Relief Society in all the periods ahead. The Society is composed of women whose feelings of charity spring from hearts changed by qualifying for and by keeping covenants offered only in the Lord's true church. Their feelings of charity come from Him through His atonement. Their acts of charity are guided by His example and come out of gratitude for His infinite gift of mercy and by the Holy Spirit, which He sends to accompany His servants on their missions of mercy. Because of that, they have done and are able to do uncommon things for others and to find joy even when their own unmet needs are great.
Visiting teaching is charity, the pure love of Christ in action. Through visiting teaching, sisters have the opportunity to follow the Savior's example as they watch over and teach one another. Sister Julie B. Beck, Relief Society General President, has stated,
Because we follow the example and teachings of Jesus Christ, we value this official calling to love, know, serve, understand, teach, and minister in his behalf. This is one duty we have in the church where we are certain to have the help of the Lord if we ask for it. This is one calling that is certain to increase our faith and personal righteousness and strengthen our own homes and families as we become partners with the Lord. A sister in this church has no other responsibility outside of her family that has the potential to do as much good as does visiting teaching. The bishop, who is the ordained shepherd of the ward, cannot possibly watch over all of the Lord's sheep at one time. He is dependent on inspired visiting teachers to help him. Visiting teaching becomes a faith-based work when our focus is on people rather than percentages. In reality, visiting teaching is never finished. It is more a way of life than a task. Faithfully serving as a visiting teacher is evidence of our discipleship.
Sisters in Nauvoo clamored to join the Relief Society. They were excited to give temporal and spiritual aid in an organized, authorized way. They loved being unified with their priesthood brethren in these great causes. President Henry B. Eyring stated,
"The members of Relief Society have always been trusted by local priesthood shepherds. Every bishop and every branch president has a Relief Society president to depend upon. She has visiting teachers who know the trials and the needs of every sister. She can, through them, know the hearts of individuals and families. She can meet needs and help the bishop in his call to nurture individuals and families."
In 1901, President Lorenzo Snow said, "The members of the Relief Society have ministered to those in affliction. They have thrown their arms of love around the fatherless and the widows, and they have kept themselves unspotted from the world. I can testify that there are no purer and more God-fearing women in the world than are to be found within the ranks of the Relief Society." In 1843, church members in Nauvoo, Illinois, were divided into four wards. In July of that year, Relief Society leaders appointed a visiting committee of four sisters for each ward. The visiting committee's responsibilities included assessing the needs of sisters and their families and collecting donations which Relief Society leaders used to provide aid and relief to those in need. While visiting teachers have always looked after the temporal needs of individuals and families, they also have a higher purpose. Sister Eliza R. Snow, second Relief Society General President, taught, "I consider the office of a teacher a high and holy office. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God, of wisdom, of humility, of love." She counseled visiting teachers to prepare themselves spiritually before they visited homes so they would be able to ascertain and meet spiritual needs as well as temporal ones. From the early days of the church, visiting teaching has been the means of providing temporal and spiritual relief to women and their families. Sister Barbara Thompson, second counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency, explains,
"In the early days of Relief Society in Nauvoo, we know that sisters traveled from house to house, ministering to one another, determining needs, bringing food, caring for the sick, and showing forth compassion for each woman and her family. This brings to mind the scripture in Jude, 'And of some have compassion, making a difference.' As I ponder upon this scripture and its meaning, my thoughts turn to the Savior and the many times the scriptures speak of the love and compassion Christ had for everyone. In the New Testament, we read often that Christ was moved with compassion upon the people as he responded to their needs. He had compassion when he saw that they were hungry and he fed them, or when they were sick and he healed them, or when they were in need of spiritual enrichment and he taught them. Compassion means to feel love and mercy towards another person. It means to have sympathy and desire to relieve the suffering of others. It means to show kindness and tenderness towards another. The Savior has asked us to do the things which he has done, to bear one another's burdens, to comfort those who need comfort, to mourn with those who mourn, to feed the hungry, visit the sick, to succor the weak, lift up the hands which hang down, and to teach one another the doctrine of the kingdom. To me, these words and actions describe visiting teachers, those who minister to others. Visiting teaching gives women the opportunity to watch over, strengthen, and teach one another.
As women pray daily for and seek inspiration to know the needs of sisters, they will understand how to meet her needs. Ministering can take many forms, some large and some not so large. President Thomas S. Monson taught,
"You are a mighty force for good, one of the most powerful in the entire world. Your influence ranges far beyond yourself and your home and touches others all around the globe. You've reached out to your brothers and sisters across streets, across cities, across nations, across continents, across oceans. You personify the Relief Society motto, charity never faileth. You are, of course, surrounded by opportunities for service. No doubt at times you recognize so many such opportunities that you may feel somewhat overwhelmed. Where do you begin? How can you do it all? How do you choose from all the needs you observe where and how to serve? Often, small acts of service are all that is required to lift and bless another. A question concerning a person's family, quick words of encouragement, a sincere compliment, a small note of thanks, a brief telephone call. If we are observant and aware, and if we act on the promptings which come to us, we can accomplish much good. Sometimes, of course, more is needed. Countless are the acts of service provided by the vast army of Relief Society visiting teachers."
Jolene Keat, a Relief Society sister, shares her gratitude for small and simple acts of service that have come into her life through visiting teachers.
"I am grateful for the blessings of visiting teaching and for the friendships I have enjoyed with women of all ages, from 18 to 81. They are those I would not normally seek because of our differences, and yet as we visited, I discovered we were more alike simply because we were sisters in the gospel. One such example is a visiting teacher who was intimidating to me because she was a professional woman working as a judge. I viewed her as being far too intelligent and much more adventurous than me. As a young woman, I had looked forward to a professional life. However, after my marriage and the birth of our first son, my husband and I felt strongly that I needed to stay home to raise him. I accepted my role as wife and mother and raised 6 happy and healthy children. I have never regretted my decision, and yet I felt inferior to the visiting teacher who was living the life I admired. As we visited, this sister shared with me her desire was always to be a stay-at-home mother, and she envied my lifestyle. I learned that a happy woman is not one that works, nor is it one that stays home, but rather a happy woman is one who chooses to be happy with whatever her decision is, because she loves our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ."
Spencer W. Kimball, 12th president of the church, taught, "God does notice us, and He watches over us, but it is usually through another person that He meets our needs. Therefore, it is vital that we serve each other in the kingdom. What glorious consequences can flow from small but deliberate deeds? Ask yourself, how do these small deeds become deliberate? How will I know the needs of my sisters? Daughters in My Kingdom, the history and work of Relief Society, teaches us how to show love, watch over, and strengthen a sister. Pray daily for her and her family. Seek inspiration. Visit her regularly. Stay in frequent contact through visits, phone calls, notes, email, text messages, and simple acts of kindness. Greet her at church. Help her. Teach her the gospel. Be an example." All over the world, Relief Society visiting teachers can be found blessing the lives of women and their families. Although some aspects of visiting teaching may vary in different parts of the world, charity and sisterhood are common characteristics. Barbara Thompson explains,
Not long ago, I visited with a group of women in Anchorage, Alaska. There were about 12 women in the room and six more joined by speakerphone from cities and towns all over Alaska. Many of these women lived hundreds of miles away from the church building. These women taught me about visiting teaching. To make a personal visit to all of the sisters would require an airplane ride, travel by boat, or traveling very long distances by car. Obviously, the time and expense made in-home visits impossible. However, these sisters felt closely connected because they were fervently praying for one another and were seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit to know what their sisters needed, even though they weren't there in person very often. They managed to stay in contact by phone, by internet, and by mail. They served with love because they had made covenants with the Lord and desired to bless and strengthen their sisters. Another dedicated pair of visiting teachers in the DR Congo walked great distances to visit a woman and her baby. These sisters prayerfully prepared a message and wanted to know how they could make a difference in the life of the dear woman they were visiting. The woman was thrilled with their visit. For her, their visit was a message from heaven given just to her. As the visiting teachers met in her humble home, the sister, her family, and the visiting teachers were all lifted and blessed. The long walk didn't seem a sacrifice. These visiting teachers had compassion, making a difference for good and blessing the life of this woman.
As disciples of the Savior, we want to do what He would do if He were here. We know that to Him, it is our caring that counts. So we want to concentrate on caring, not counting or statistics. Sister Thompson taught,
the beauty of visiting teaching is not to see 100% on the monthly report. The beauty of visiting teaching is seeing lives changed, tears wiped away, testimonies growing, people loved, families strengthened, people cheered, the hungry fed, the sick visited, and those who are mourning comforted. Actually, visiting teaching is never done because we watch over and strengthen always. Another blessing of visiting teaching is to increase in unity and love. Many women have reported that the reason they came back into church activity was because a faithful visiting teacher came month after month and ministered to them, rescuing them, loving them, blessing them. Sometimes the message will be the most important thing you can share on a particular visit. Some women have little spiritual enrichment in their lives except for what you will bring in the message. The messages in the Liahona and Ensign are gospel messages which help each woman increase her faith, strengthen her family, or emphasize charitable relief. At times, the most important blessing about your visit will be to just listen. Listening brings comfort, understanding, and healing. Still another time, you may need to roll up your sleeves and go to work in the home or help to calm a crying child.
Visiting teachers bless the lives of those they serve in numerous and varied ways. President Thomas S. Monson shared the following.
I learned recently of loving service given to a mother when her children were very young. Frequently, she'd be up in the middle of the night tending to the needs of her little ones, as mothers do. Often, her friend and neighbor across the street would come over the next day and say, I saw your lights on in the middle of the night and know you were up with the children. I'm going to take them to my house for a couple of hours while you take a nap. Said this grateful mother, I was so thankful for her welcome offer. It wasn't until this had happened many times that I realized if she'd seen my lights on in the middle of the night, she was up with one of her children as well and needed a nap just as much as I did. She taught me a great lesson, and I've since tried to be as observant as she was in looking for opportunities to serve others. Close quote. Countless are the acts of service provided by the vast army of Relief Society visiting teachers. A few years ago, I heard of two of them who aided a grieving widow Angela, the granddaughter of a cousin of mine, Angela's husband and a friend of his had gone snowmobiling and had become victims of suffocation through a snowslide. Each of them left a pregnant wife. In Angela's case, their first child. And in the other case, a wife not only expecting a child, but also the mother of a toddler. In the funeral held for Angela's husband, the bishop reported that upon hearing of the tragic accident, he had gone immediately to Angela's home. Almost as soon as he arrived, the doorbell sounded. The door was opened, and there stood Angela's two visiting teachers. The bishop said he watched as they so sincerely expressed to Angela their love and compassion. The three women cried together, and it was apparent that these two fine visiting teachers cared deeply about Angela, as perhaps only women can. They gently indicated, without being asked, exactly what help they would be providing, that they would be close by as long as Angela needed them, was obvious. The bishop expressed his deep gratitude in knowing that they would be a real source of comfort to her in the days ahead. Such acts of love and compassion are repeated again and again by the wonderful visiting teachers of this church, not always in such dramatic situations, but just as genuinely nevertheless.
Wendy Shelley expressed gratitude for the sweet spirit she felt in her home as she watched her visiting teachers ministering to each other.
I've had visiting teachers come to my home now for over 35 years. That's a lot of women. And the amazing thing to me is that I remember so many of them, what they did for me and how they made me feel. One of the sweetest experiences happened 15 years ago with two faithful visiting teachers. One sister was just coming back to church after years of inactivity, and she'd never given a visiting teaching message before. She was very nervous. The other visiting teacher was faithful in her church attendance, but had a hard time reading, and so the message was difficult for her to give. Each month, these women would take turns reading the lesson to me. When I think about it, even today, it brings tears to my eyes. The sister that had a hard time reading would stumble through the words of the lesson and stop frequently when she did not know how to say the word. The other sister would sit right next to her and quietly read her the words. It took a little longer to get through the message, but there was such a sweet feeling in my home as these dear sisters worked together to give me the message. Years later, I really don't remember what the lessons were about. But what I do remember is the example of Christ-like service these sisters gave to me.
As visiting teachers come to know and love each sister, they will understand better how to minister to each one individually. When sharing a gospel message isn't appropriate, we can find other ways to strengthen and minister to sisters. We know we are successful in our ministry as visiting teachers when our sisters can say, "My visiting teacher helps me grow spiritually. I know my visiting teacher cares deeply about me and my family. And I know if I have a need, my visiting teacher will take action." These are important lessons we can always be teaching. Amy Ricks shares her experiences of the blessings she received as an 18-year-old young adult serving as a visiting teacher for her very first time.
When the Relief Society president asked me if I would like to be a visiting teacher, I said yes. However, I was still a little nervous. I was nervous because I wanted to make sure I gave the message perfectly, and I was concerned that somehow I would do something that would make the lives of the sisters I visited worse rather than better. The president assured me that my visiting teaching partner would teach me everything I needed to know. Ann Nichols introduced herself to me as my visiting teaching partner the next week. I recognized Sister Nichols from church, but I really didn't know her very well. I knew she was older than me, and all of her kids were already grown. I also knew that she worked at the temple because she often spoke of her love for the temple during fast and testimony meetings. Sister Nichols taught me so much. She taught me to pray before meeting with my sisters. She taught me how to find the visiting teaching message in the Ensign magazine, She taught me to stop and say hi to the sisters we taught when we saw them outside a church. Sister Nichols practiced what she taught, as one time I saw her at the grocery store. Anne ran all the way down that grocery aisle just to give me a hug. She told me she was happy to see me and that she just loved being my visiting teaching partner. I knew she loved me, and I loved her for it. When I expressed concern that I, as an 18-year-old, had nothing in common with the 42-year-old mother of three we visited, Anne taught me how to find common interests with others who were different than me. I learned so much from this amazing woman. One of the sisters we visited had a very difficult life. We spent most of our visiting teaching appointment listening to her concerns. One night when we were coming home from visiting this sister, I expressed frustration that we didn't give the assigned message. I said, "We have visited every month for 6 months, and we've never been able to give the message. We must be doing something wrong." Anne looked at me and said, "Amy, we are the message." As I have gotten older and had more experiences with visiting teaching, I have thought a lot about Anne's words to me that night. Visiting teaching is more than just giving a message. It's about loving each other and becoming true friends.
Sister Barbara Thompson shared her experiences and the blessings she has received through her service as a visiting teacher.
I can honestly say that when I went visiting teaching, I always felt better. I was lifted, loved, and blessed, usually much more than the sister I was visiting. My love increased. My desire to serve increased. And I could see what a beautiful way Heavenly Father has planned for us to watch over and care for one another. Other blessings of being a visiting teacher are that we get to know and become friends with those we may not have known well otherwise. At times, it allows us to be an answer to someone's prayers. Also, personal revelation and spiritual experiences are closely connected with visiting teaching. I have experienced some of the most humbling, joyful, and spiritual experiences of my life as I have sat in the homes of women in my own ward and around the world. We have taught one another the gospel. We have cried together, laughed together, solved problems together, and I have been lifted and blessed. My own dear mother was a wonderful and dedicated visiting teacher for many years, and she was continually thinking of ways she could bless the families she visited. She paid particular attention to the children of the women she visited, hoping to strengthen families. I can remember one five-year-old running up to my mother at church and declaring, "You are my visiting teacher. I love you." Being part of the lives of wonderful women and their families was a blessing to my mother. Not all experiences related to visiting teaching are warm and wonderful. Sometimes it is hard, such as visiting a home where you aren't really welcomed, or when it is difficult to meet with a sister with a very busy schedule. It may take longer to build a good relationship with some sisters, but when we truly seek to love, care for, and pray for the sister, the Holy Ghost will help us find a way to watch over and strengthen her. The women we visit teach have been entrusted to our care. Let us have love and compassion and thus make a difference in the lives of those who have been entrusted to our care.
In conclusion, visiting teaching is charity in action. It is the Lord's loving way of watching over and ministering to the daughters in His kingdom. As visiting teachers serve, they can find satisfaction in the words of King Benjamin, "When ye are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God." Visiting teachers who strive to emulate the Savior in their service come to know the joy of becoming a tool in His mighty hand. As His servants, they will discover that the blessings for such service are endless. These blessings are extended to those who serve as well as those whom they serve. These blessings bring peace, comfort, and relief for today, and joy, salvation, and eternal life throughout the eternities. Sister Julie B. Beck has taught, "Visiting teachers minister in behalf of the Savior. Our hands are His hands. Our love is His love. And our service is His service. Good visiting teachers know the sisters they visit. They love them, serve them, and help them learn the gospel by the Spirit.
they focus on fortifying homes and lives. There is no greater privilege than to watch over and strengthen another person. It is truly the business of salvation. President Thomas S. Monson extends a prophetic blessing to visiting teachers and all who willingly serve and minister to the needs of others.
I extol you, who with loving care and compassionate concern feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and house the homeless. He who notes the sparrows fall will not be unmindful of such service. The desire to lift, the willingness to help, and the graciousness to give come from a heart filled with love. Serve willingly. Our beloved prophet, even President Gordon B. Hinckley, said of you, God planted within women something divine that expresses itself in quiet strength, in refinement, in peace, in goodness, in virtue, in truth, in love. Close quote. My dear sisters, may our Heavenly Father bless each of you, married or single, in your homes, in your families, in your very lives, that you may merit the glorious salutation of the Savior of the world. Well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Thank you for joining us for the Mormon Channel Relief Society program and our discussion of the January 2012 Visiting Teaching message, Watch Care and Ministering Through Visiting Teaching. For more information on this program or for a link to the text of the Visiting Teaching message, visit mormonchannel.org. To share a story or experience with the Mormon Channel, email us at mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. This has been a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.